Welcome back to Deep Thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight I want to take you through something that occurred to me. It was a movie I saw in 1979. It was my second R-rated movie I'd ever seen. Class of Miss Michael, I think it was my first. I begged my dad to see this movie because this poster looks so freaking cool. He was a little worried, as he probably should have been. It kicked off an era in my life that was very unique. What is called the Warriors. Warriors is a simple movie. A central gang called the Riffs, the Gramercy Riffs, are going to unite all the gangs of New York to take over the entire city. And so on one evening, 100 gangs, roughly, sent 9 delegates to the Bronx to hear the speech of Cyrus. And as the movie goes on, Cyrus gets shot at the end of his speech by a little gang called the Rogues. Just a pissant group of dudes with some asshole leader who's played by the most amazing actor ever. And so then he turns and blames it on the Warriors. He screams that he saw a warrior do it when he was the guy that did it. And so now the Warriors are on foot in the Bronx. No one's strapped because that was the rules. They knew they'd have a big war in their hands. And now they got to walk basically on foot back to Coney Island where they're from. Because if they took any mass transit, the other gangs would see them and they could get killed. But Cyrus's speech, although he was talking about a criminal situation, it has truth for the good side as well. This was the very first movie I ever memorized every word. And not because I tried, because I've seen it hundreds and hundreds of times. So imagine like some stadium somewhere, some outside place. And the place is packed. And they've got this sort of playground, wood structure where kids would normally play. And it's got like kind of a fort. It's got this top area. And so Cyrus uses that to get up really high in front of everyone. And you're kind of confused at the beginning of the movie. They've kind of talked over what's going on, but you're still kind of confused until you hear this actor scream. Cyrus screams. He says, "Can you count, suckers?" He says, "I say the future is ours, if you can count." He crawls up the ladder to get up high. And he says, "Look what we have here before us. We've got the Saracens sitting next to the Jones Street Boys. We've got the Moonrunners right by the Van Cortlandt Rangers. And no one is wasting nobody." And he says, "And that is a miracle. And miracles are the way things ought to be." He says, "You're standing in front of 9 delegates from 100 gangs, and there's over 100 more." He says, "That's 20,000 hardcore soldiers. And there's 40,000 county affiliates, and 20,000 unorganized but ready to fight. 60,000 hardcore members." He says, "But there ain't but 20,000 police in the whole city. Can you dig it?" Now, he does subtract out the 20,000. I'm going to skip one paragraph because it's kind of unrelated to us, but his last one has an ironic key. Again, flip all the negative to a positive. He says, "The problem in the past is that the man has been turning us against one another. We've been unable to see the truth because we've been fighting for 10 square feet of ground. Our turf. Our little piece of turf." He says, "That's crap, brothers." He says, "The turf is ours by right because it's our turn." And he says, "All we have to do keep up the general truce, secure one borough at a time, secure our territory, secure our turf, because it's all our turf." And he goes, "Can you dig it?" And the whole place goes fucking nuts. And that's when the asshole points the 35 at him, 38, 40, 357, I don't know, some revolver, blows him away. Now, that would have been a hell of a situation had he done it. Would have been a whole nother movie had he not shot that guy. But it was very interesting to see this at 9 years old because it taught me a really upper construct of social engineering, that there was this duel between the gangs and the cops. Now, of course, that guy is forgetting the military, of course, but it's a movie. And then you get to see deception. You get to see survival. There's a great scene in the, just as a small digression, being a little kid and just kind of figuring out, you know, I'm coming in my own. I'm just about to be moved away to an area where shit's going to get real. But there's the baseball furies. If any of you have seen that movie or seen the poster, you know what I'm talking about. It's these guys dressed, hair like mine, but dark. And they have like Kiss makeup on, but their own designs. They carry baseball bats. Not guns, okay? But they're wearing baseball uniforms. And at one point, the gang is in a subway, and they come running out. And there's four of them, because they've been split up a little bit. But it's four of some of the toughest dudes, with Ajax, the main loudmouth, played by this amazing actor, who I believe is still alive to this day. And they're like, come on, man, come on. And then they get up, and they start looking around, and they're surrounded by these baseball furies. Dudes was swinging their bats. And so then they just kind of take off running, and then they get chased, and it's just amazing. And finally, one of the dudes says, man, I can't make it. I can't go anymore, man. He's like, you sure? And they're running. Ajax is like looking for a fight constantly, right? He says, yeah, sure, I'm sure, man. And he goes, good, because I'm sick of running from these wimps. And he stops, turns, and they just kick the living shit out of the whole gang. It taught me to stick up for myself. It taught me, you know, if it's your time, it's your time, man. Back in the day, you know, it wasn't guns and shit like that. Today, you got a void, right? But back to Cyrus. Can you count suckers? Now, imagine you're in a world that's completely fucked. I mean, the world is fucked. It's Idiocracy, like, Part 4. Science doesn't fucking matter anymore. Logic doesn't matter anymore. Everyone's waiting for some fucking bullshit thing that's not going to happen. It's all down to you and me. It's all down to you and me. I keep mentioning Bug's Life, but that doesn't appeal to a lot of people. Not exactly a tough franchise to get your mind in the gear of actually having to physically defend yourself, right? Yeah, just for the record, I wouldn't want the gangs of any major city to take over the city. But flip it to us. Flip it to law-abiding people that do no harm to a single person, do everything we possibly can to enrich the world, to help each other out. And the only reason why we haven't been able to level the playing field between all the different groups in the world is simply because the pressure's been on us. So we've been suffering. We have been without just the strategic resources to live. Boom and bust economies, wars, paradigms of propaganda, of the divide, to make people hate each other. I mean, we have been consummate suckers in 2020 and 2021, haven't we? Well, pretty much back until 2016. I mean, it must be fucking mind-blowing to a piece of shit like George Soros, who sold out his fellow fucking, well, he says he's Jewish, I'm not convinced. He sells, you know, the locations for people at 15 cents a pop as a little kid. Basically rationalizes it on an audio interview saying, well, if I didn't do it, someone else would have done it. I mean, whoa. He's trying to stay alive for as long as he possibly can. I think most of these elites are trying to stay alive as much as they can because hell is the next place they're going. But the youth of the world couldn't be at a higher rate of ignorance. It would be interesting to take a time machine journey back every 200 or 300 years, because I think you'd have to go back at least 300, 400 years to find a child who's 10 years old, who is dumber than a child today. Let's just say you're not going to a specific area that's having major issues. You're not going into a jungle. You're going into modern Europe at the time, 1500s. Then you go back to the 1200s, Then you go back to the 900s. You're going to find that kids 10 to 14 are married with children, you know, and they're kicking ass and taking names. Well, they got plagues and shit like that, but that's not necessarily their fault because they don't understand hygiene. But man spent most of its time on this planet. Pretty bad hygiene, to be honest. And just as soon as we got clean, we got bad medicine, bad food, bad habits. So as soon as we cleaned our bodies off and got rid of things like the poxes and the polios of the world, through sheer cleanliness, we started putting it in our mouths. Interesting. What's going to be interesting for me, and probably for you too, I'm going to say definitely for you too, is that you and I, if we have to witness the demise of this planet, then we'll be sitting there watching it burn to the ground, realizing how easy it was that within, what, 2020 to what, 2025, where Deagle says America is going to be down to 70 million. I mean, geez, even if they're half correct, even if 100 million people die in this country, it'll be a different world. You'll lose whatever percentage that is for you. That would be 1/3 of our population, a little under 1/3. I think Great Britain has about 60 million people, right? Don't know exactly what Europe's total numbers are, but you guys don't have a hell of a lot per capita. So if you lost 50 million in one focused area, it'll be a different world, right? But George Soros is able to play the books of his grandfather, Jesus, of his father, on the world, and it worked 100,000%. It works. And one might argue, well, it didn't work. Not everybody was converted. It's like, it actually totally worked, because all you have to do is get a gaggle of assholes to challenge those that didn't fall for it. And now you got a problem. Remember in Oregon, the self-proclaimed world of experts up there who just live in cognitive dissonance, gaslighting fucking world where it's like, again, it's just unfucking believable. These people went up there, Antifa, BLM, started putting fireworks in people's homes at night, potentially setting the house on fire, potentially killing everyone inside. Mass murder shit. Mass murder shit. The cops don't even look for those people. They buy into all the bullshit. Well, no. Okay, so somebody had their property damaged when a bucket of fireworks is set off inside there. It's night work stuff, fiery shit. Well, I guess it's okay, you know. Then the government comes after everyone, trying to kick them out of their houses. Oh, wasn't this your idea, socialism? You're getting a little teeny tiny fucking preview of what socialism's like under the guise of the coof. It only gets worse when it happens without an excuse, because then you know what they're really doing. We the people are 99.9% of this entire planet. No matter how much you want to exaggerate up the numbers of, you know, potential soldiers and police officers, well, the overwhelming majority of them, believe it or not, are your wives, your husbands, your brothers, your sisters, your neighbors, and they will fight for your freedom. They swore an oath to your country to protect it. And even though they can get drunk in the short term, in the end, most of them will not enforce tyranny on the people. Not for any reason at all. Not for money, not for status, not for promotion. I think Australia is figuring out a hard, hard lesson. Remember when I went there in 2018 and I came back to you guys and I said, went to Australia, spent a week there in Sydney for a conference. And it's a beautiful city. That's the only city I've been to, so I don't have any other knowledge of Melbourne or anything like that. But I'm walking around at night, and I'm really enjoying myself. Walked around all afternoon, walked down to the Opera House, took pictures, all this other stuff. But I noticed that the entire city was Asia. Every single Asian country was represented there. But there are no Australian-owned businesses. I didn't see any locals owning any businesses in Sydney. Every place I walked into, Now, of course, they are there, but I went to restaurants, coffee shops, breakfast places. Never got a ride home in an Uber from anyone that was from the local area. Had a cab driver immediately try to steal $75 from me. I mean, like, unbelievable. And he was some Middle Eastern guy, giving me some bullshit excuse that their country has this special tax for cab drivers. I mean, and then I checked immediately with the locals, and he said, no, that guy's lying. Okay. And so it's a beautiful town. I mean, and the Asian communities, they're all divided up. You know, they're all different. There's Vietnamese areas and Japanese areas and Chinese areas. I mean, they're in Korean areas, right? Beautifully kept. These restaurants serve top-notch food. The nightclub scene, which I never went into, but I was looking in. I think I even bragged it. I saw this kid, this baller. It's just like almost out of a movie. It's like one of the most handsome guys. He had these two beautiful women to his side, and he's walking into this nightclub at night. I'm just thinking, oh my God, this place is dialed in. This whole place is dialed in. Now, I haven't seen, and I'm not picking on any one community whatsoever, but I'll definitely tell you, if you pay attention to at least 50% of the cops that are running around tackling women, there's the white guy that choked that chick out against the wall. Whoa. Whoa. You got to follow up, Australians. You got to follow up on these people, man. But it sure looks like a lot of people hiding behind masks don't seem to match any of the local complexions. People, foreigners coming in, getting jobs on the police force, willing to do anything to locals because they don't fucking care. They're not their people. They're here to take over your fucking country, man. Been trying to do that in America for a long time. But the funny thing about America, and I'm sure this happens in Australia too, I don't mean to pick on anything. I loved what I saw. I loved everything I've ever seen about that Australia. Just so you know, the people are amazing. In America, what ends up taking place in a lot of cases, outside of your racist hick cops that are, you know, in the South or on the East Coast, I mean, they're just blatant over there, man, is that people migrate into California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, and they have maybe like a La Raza kind of opinion of what they're going to do, and then they realize it's pretty awesome. And that shit just kind of boils off. They fall in love with someone who's local. And they realize, yeah, you know what? This is pretty cool, man. I had federal rallies up my ass the entire time. I was brainwashed. And they come out of the coma. I don't know if that happens in Australia. In America, I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen a preponderance of videos of cops running around tackling people without fucking masks on. I just can't imagine it. I mean, you do it in Los Angeles. Jesus Christ, every other car's got fucking AK-47 in it. It would be just one spray away from that situation ever happening again. Because there's so much crime that's at bay in Los Angeles, not Chicago, but in Los Angeles, you got at least 4 Mexican gangs, probably 4 Asian gangs. You got at least 2 black gangs. I don't know how much the whites have split up into their Aryan race thing. I don't see skinheads anymore. I haven't seen a skinhead in decades. I'm sure they exist, I guess. I've seen some in videos from about 10 years ago. But whatever, we know they exist because they're in prisons and stuff. They've kind of figured out how to get along because the 90s were brutal in Los Angeles. But they're fucking strapped, dude, and they're everywhere. If shit got to the point where police officers gave the gangs a reason to defend themselves, there's not enough fucking soldiers, dude. And all they would be doing is defending freedom. Although, with a heavy hand, right? They'd be judge and jury, which we can't have mob rule kind of shit, right? We've seen the riots from Rodney King time frames, right? I mean, I think the number from the Rodney King riots was like 55 people died in 24 hours in Los Angeles. I mean, I watch videos of guys just on a fucking bicycle with the big shotgun. And this dude just stops his bicycle and starts blasting into a window. He doesn't even know who's there. And these people were just coming home from work. They had no idea this stuff was about to explode. Some of my family was in San Francisco when it, I guess, it occurred. And the mob just started coming down the street. Although San Francisco didn't blow up like LA. LA blew up like a human bomb. Now, there's the problem is that if countries give it up, if they bend over for it on the barrel and take it up the hole by their cops, by their military, by their politicians, and everyone's just scared, okay, and the Second Amendment's gone, they can't fight back easily. But there was a video out there, and I don't know if it was Australia or Europe, but there's a whole gang of people and a whole gang of cops. And they went just like an old-fashioned medieval battle. They just go boom, like some fucking Lord of the Rings fight. And one dude, unarmed, just starts punching and punching and punching. And man, he probably had three or four cops just, whoa, 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 whoa. We're not going to walk into those fists, man. This motherfucker had just said, I've had enough, right? Went viral. And I'm sitting there looking at this going, wow. That dude has got two or three cops at bay. Must be a country without guns. And he's not doing anything lethal. He's just fighting back because they're coming at him. He's defending himself, right? And I just thought, okay, look behind this dude. There must have been 5,000 people behind this guy. And I just thought, if everybody in line just started doing what this guy was doing, it would have sent a message. I mean, maybe they would have brought water cannons and all their fucking rubber bullets and shit, but if you can count, you can understand your options, because their game is to make you feel as hopeless as possible. Their game is to make you think that your military is completely against you. The one thing that people don't understand is that a lot of people join the military, and it's not just this little summer camp thing, man. You know, some people do their 4 years and they're out, but some people, it's their career. It's where they make their money. It's everything that they know, and they're experts at what they do. And imagine someone saying you have to take a shot or you can't get your paycheck. You know, I just saw this report come in that the Senate of the United States of America and the Congress and all the politicians on the Hill, plus their assistants, are immune from the mandate of the drink. Amazing, right? Post office that touches everybody's fucking door and everything in the United States. Well, they don't have to get it either. The thing is I wonder if is it a situation where they want that communication to be hand-delivered, because it's like sort of like the slow internet for people that are creating deceitful plans, right? You don't send an email, you send a letter in code. And so they need those couriers to exist. Or is it one of these situations where if all the postal service workers start dying of the side effects, that'll become very apparent? Where's my mail? Oh, your postwoman died from the koof drink. Can you count suckers? You know, I'm encouraged to basically try to get you guys to remember a situation where you have been in a situation where you thought, you know, it was hopeless. This doesn't happen to everyone. But you feel like the Chicken Little, the sky is falling. What could possibly help you? And then something changes. Something triggers a state change in your mind. And you suddenly realize, without actually anything changing in the external world, that you just had it wrong. You had an equation in your mind that was wrong. I'm trying to think of one that's identical to kind of what we're talking about here, but it doesn't really matter. Could be you thought you were in a relationship where the other person was being unfaithful. You thought you got all the signs that they were doing something crazy. And then all of a sudden, a little piece of information comes in and you're like, oh my gosh. I just totally thought they were doing something horrible. I thought they were an awful person. Then all of a sudden, you're wrong. The black apple was feeding your suspicion. The black apple was writing a script inside your head that made sense, and you read it to yourself, and you vested in a fictional character, a fictional version of yourself, getting angry. And then suddenly, you find out you're wrong. And then you feel this spiritual lift off your chest. I've been there, man. That's why I'm giving that example. That should be a little bit of how you feel right now. Yes, we're going to have to get our hands dirty, potentially. I don't know if their plan is to push it to the very limit and then back off. One of you posted on our Locked Facebook group that on December 1st this year, Australia is going to lift pretty much all the restrictions. It's going to go back to really, really light restrictions. And I can't understand that to save my soul based on the fucking lunacy that's going on right now. And considering there's going to be two more months of these fucking droogie cops running around, violating everyone's rights, causing harm, man, choking people out. I mean, any man, I don't give a fuck if you're a cop or a military person. If a woman is just standing in front of you, disagreeing with you, you do not, at least in America, you do not have the fucking right to grab them by the fucking throat and choke them up against the wall. That will never fly in court. Now, if she spits in your face, she's pulling out a weapon, sure. If she has already committed a crime that is like an egregious crime, she robbed a store, she fucking wrecked a car and hurt people or whatever it is, right? She's already committed a crime. Then, and you tell her, look, I need you to turn around and put your hands behind your back. And she resists that assistance to the arrest process. Sure, grab someone, flip them around. But you don't get to choke them out. You have all this, was it the meth head George Floyd? The man who home invasioned a pregnant woman and held her at gunpoint. And he's a fucking hero later on, right? What happened? A dude supposedly kneels on his neck. I mean, different camera angles, a little bit different, but it's, you know, it's a standard procedure around the United States of America. We now have seen that in Australia too. No big deal. But it's a person who didn't put a pair of panties on their fucking face because it restricts your breathing, right? I honestly don't understand how people can do that willingly. I mean, if you put it on and you hate it, then at least you're winning the lucidity battle, right? You're like, this sucks. I'm only going to do it because I got to get some food out of the store. We're in this weird lockdown situation. But no matter what mask I have ever put on my face, the lack of oxygen that I get puts me in a state of sleepiness. It's suffocating. I feel like, you know, my body is giving me this sense of suffocation because I do not have the minimum quantity, the strategic quantity of oxygen going into my head to oxygenate my blood. And, you know, I'm not 6'4", man. I can't even imagine a gigantic person who's already overweight, perhaps. And that's what it is around here, which is really funny. You have these completely, massively obese people. And I'm not talking about a little bit of table muscle. We're talking about dudes that are 280 plus. Walking around, got a big beard, you know, and they got the little pair of panties over that thing. There's no fucking protection whatsoever. And, you know, luckily they're not really saying anything around here. It would not work out around here. I mean, we got Hell's Angel scrappers everywhere, formerly called surfers, and they would never put up with that shit around here. But you definitely get sort of that glare. Man, you're so stupid. It's just nuts. Harvard University just announced they're going back to remote school because they have 95% of their entire student base with the drink. And boy, everyone's getting sick again. Yeah, Israel's 95%. According to them, I heard 73%, but I've heard... Oh, actually, sorry, 73% of the population is taking a drink, but in the hospitals, 95% of the patients that are coming in severe conditions down with this coof have had the drink. Okay. Stupid is the stupid does, man. That, it's so funny, man. Forrest Gump, that line didn't... I don't know why. It never sunk in until 10 years later. You know, the infamous speech, maybe I should say the famous speech by Charlie Chaplin in The Great Dictator at the very end of the movie, This is 1941. It's made 1940, edited together, published in March of 41, I believe, March, April. The dude was rolling in dough back in those days, right? Like I always say. But there's an area of his speech where he's like, we have all this technology, but we're not connected. The more they introduce technology, the less we actually physically see each other. The reason why, in my opinion, one of the primary reasons why we know that we can count and we know that the world is 99% on the same page in terms of just leave me alone. Everybody has a different cultures and different beliefs, and that works beautifully if it's leave me alone. But everyone clumps together in their beliefs, right? It's not like one guy standing in the desert with his own beliefs. I'm sure there is a couple people like that. It's because we don't stand next to our fellow man very often. One of the things we have at our lounge, and this is hilarious because we went through the entire COOF situation of last year and this year, we have never closed the doors. Local police, in fact, local and remote police come in there to get all their sticks all the time. Even during the whole situation, I mean, it's technically not an essential business to smoke a cigar, right? Or sell an instrument or something. And they come in and, you know, have you seen that we had a homeless guy around here and they just come in and out, no big deal. But we shake hands most of the time when we come in. Boom, 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 right down the line. One dude will shake, you know, four guys' hands and you're shaking that hand. Nobody that I know of came down with the illness. I mean, I had a little thing again in March, April of this year, where I really felt fine, but I did eat some food, and I was like, whoa, for about 3 days, I couldn't taste anything. Very normal thing. It's happened 3 or 4 times in the 6 years I've gone to this place. Again, we don't buy sticks when you can't taste. Why do it? You're just burning stuff for no reason. That's how much we enjoy the flavor too, right? But I think that because we don't get close to our neighbors if the city gets too big. And I don't know what the threshold is. I know at 10,000, people really know each other really, really well. I don't know. Is it 20, 30, 40, 50? Where does it break off? The other big one that we don't want to admit is that when we have a lot of mixed cultures in an area, either fresh migrants, which they're in this area, there's quite a few, right? We have a constant influx from Asia with no problem, right? Same level of illegals and legal people here to stay, here to invest. And then we have, you know, a preponderance from the South, which get a lot more publicity if they're illegal, right? And so they land, and they're hard workers, man. They're landing, and, you know, they have to kind of, if they brought a lot of money, they can get a nice place. But usually they have to kind of live in more of the tougher neighborhoods, although we don't really have any, you know, gang fights or anything like that. But, you know, they're living in certain areas until they upgrade and they get better jobs and they whatever, right? Imagine, and I haven't done this personally, I have not moved to a foreign country and just not known much about the place, but it's better than where I came from and that sort of thing. So I don't know what that's like. But these individuals, I see them, they're isolated. And even though they live in next to people that are from where they're from, generally speaking, the camaraderie is still very guarded. So the way I want you to see that in your head, well, at least the way I see it in my head, the point I'm trying to make inside your head with my opinion, have your own opinion, is I see that as a break in communication. Not all areas have the culture to get to know each other, which is why I love Orange County, California. It's the culture to get to know your neighbors, to hang out. We're a team. And even if your neighbors piss you off, you still bite your tongue and you say it's better that they're there, because in a pinch, if society went to shit, that guy's got his music up too loud or he's partying too late or whatever, they're your best buds. They're there to unite with you. And so you just treat it like someone you love. You used to go, okay, well, dad plays this shit really loud, whatever, but he's a good dad, you know, that kind of thing, right? You know, you've heard those old stories about various times in history, especially the Inquisitions, all three of them, where it was neighbor tell on neighbor. And at first you think, man, that would never happen if you lived in a small town, because your neighbors are your family. You would never tell on them. the way they penetrate that sensibility not to tell on your neighbor because you love them is to introduce a penal system. And then they make examples out of people. And once they make an example out of somebody, you see the suffering, you hear the screaming, and you're like, oh my God, I can't have that for my spouse. I can't have that for my kid or myself, right? And so then they get the neighbors to start telling on each other who would never have done it before, even in small communities. But let me tell you, when everyone lives on your block is from a different country or doesn't know each other from a different region or whatever, it doesn't matter where they're from. The algorithm starts to immediately fire off. Oh, well, hey, you know, if we can get those people out of there, we can get that property over there. We'll get those businesses out of there. We'll just tell on them. And it's the climate of telling on people and getting people in trouble, perhaps, right? And then they don't realize that someone else is telling on them. And it becomes this bloodbath. What's the medieval game of a king and strife within the kingdom? The kings and queens learned a long time ago, if the population suffers and there's nothing else to blame but the king or the queen, they're going to lose possession of their heads. But as long as they create strife, they could be blamed on something else, whether it's real or not. Then the people turn their heads away from the king or the queen and they fight a war with their neighbor. And the other king has got a little, you know, telescope thing, and he's looking at the other king. He's looking back at him, and they're just like, yeah, yeah, good, that's good, right? You're sending more people. Yeah, that's great. We got too many people anyway, right? We'll raid all their gold as soon as they're dead, you know? That's the game that's being played right now. They're going the nasty route. I just feel like it's like a movie where there's a bunch of kids destroying a beautiful, like, mansion. Like a nice kind of, I don't know, mansion, but just a really nice Hollywood home or whatever. They're just tearing the crap out of it. And the parents, the father or whatever, comes down the stairs and just there's fucking food everywhere, paint everywhere. Every piece of furniture is busted. Kids in their house don't even know who they are. And you just have the parent going, would somebody mind telling me what the hell's going on here? That's how I wake up every single day. Like, oh my God, you know. I watch Telegram because, again, I'm trying to find some patterns on there. I did find a pattern today. There is this Trump coin that they're peddling like crazy. And apparently Elon Musk said he's going to buy a bunch of them or some bullshit. And they're peddling this stuff. So there's a fake JFK Jr. account, a fake coded name for what I believe is supposed to be his wife. And then there's a fake John McAfee account. Probably all created by the same person. It's being picked up by all these conspiracy channels that are famous, right? The Hawaiian lady, who's the goofball, she flat out promoted those channels as if they're real. Chick believes absolutely everything she hears. I mean, you wouldn't even be able to finish the sentence before she's already believing everything that you've said. So no fact gathering, no cross-referencing. Unbelievable. Just misleading her following. I mean, we keep talking about, you know, these people that are pushing the drink on everybody. If certain codes are enforced that were set aside and formalized at the end of World War II, that these people are going to have scarlet letters all over their system, right? And I'm telling you, some of these conspiracy channel people are going to have to run from crowds with the dishonesty and just lack of integrity that they had. There's some good ones that I think are going to be mega heroes. But I will say, okay, like I told you a while back, I said, I think people, I don't even know, this is not an ego thing. This is just fucking weird, man. I said, I think a lot more people watch Deep Thoughts than they're willing to admit. But for whatever reason, they can't cross promote or whatever. I did that episode called Possible Plan. I felt really nervous making that episode because I was like, I might piss a bunch of people off, but I got to fucking tell the truth. And I said, look, I don't think there's any secret army. This is all supposed to be those investigations into the selection process. They're going to try to play a long game. 3 more fucking years of Biden. Could you imagine what this country would look like? You're about to see, man. And so I toned back all the rhetoric out of that letter movement. Within 3 days, Dave from X22, now he's scaling back his whole operation. It's no longer going to be this secret military doing something. And then yesterday I watched Salty Cracker do it. He threw out the whole thing that there's going to be some magic sauce happening. You can just go back to his old episodes. I love the guy. I love both those dudes. But how is it? Is it a stream of consciousness that's going around? That all of a sudden the game is, we're all going to fucking pull our head out of our ass, you know, and call this thing like it is. And now they're trying to make it okay that it's going to take 3 more years to fix everything. As if the deep state's going to sit around going, well, doggone it. We lost the poker game. I guess you win. Yeah, here's the Millennium Falcon. You know, I don't think so. They're going to be slipping aces and kings and whatever they need out of their sleeves onto this table. Fixed decks. I mean, it's just going to count cards. I mean, they got it made. And if you happen to remotely win, they're going to take you outside and beat the shit out of you till you die. They don't fuck around, man. A friend of mine sent a video over that says that Bitcoin is going to be restricted to basically about 12 miles from where you live. So if you have any digital currency of any kind, that if you travel about 12 miles away, 16 kilometers, whatever the hell that is, your coins will stop working. I mean, I think that's bullshit, but this is the kind of shit they're floating out there. So the counting thing that this episode is based on is not something that's going to have an effect on your world unless you repeat it to other people. You got to get people to understand that concept. Get them to see what could be unseen, can't be unseen. And then it'll spread, hopefully, right? This thing, I mean, if Salty and X22 have both just gotten this out of the universe, then there's something magical taking place. That we're all getting this frequency out of the sky. No inspiration from anybody other than just listening to someone like General Flynn. But General Flynn has been saying what he's been saying ever since January of this year. Absolutely, especially February. I mean, he's been saying it and saying it and saying. X22, Dave, he does an episode every day. Salty Cracker does 1 or 2 episodes a day. I'm doing maybe 2 a week. I mean, I'm cranking them out right now because we're in this situation. And I just get, what ends up happening, just so you know, is I live my day. It'll get to about, and I'm getting shit all day long. Boom, 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 from all my close friends and some of you folks. Usually between 10 and midnight, I get a ton of dumps from like some of my smarter, more investigative friends, right? So what happens is between 10 and midnight, I get some pretty good dumps from friends of mine who do a lot of investigating. And so I'm trying to work in there and I'm thinking about this shit. And then we kind of go back some text messages and whatever. And stuff just occurs to me. And this is where I am tonight. I understand the notion, and especially with what's been posted about Australia on December 1st, if that truly isn't reneged on, then that's going to satiate potential future patterns that might occur, right? And so if someone says, they're locking us back down again, but you know, it's like just December 1st, you know, pretty soon we'll be out. Meanwhile, these fucking cops are chasing chicks around and kneeing them in the face, right? Big tough guys. I just can't even imagine. That fucking guy that choked that chick out against the wall, does he not have any male friends that are patriots to Australia? I mean, really? Where's that guy going to go? What bar is he going to walk into? What cigar lounge is he going to walk into? Whatever fucking lodge is he going to walk into where every dude in that place is not willing to break his fucking neck? I mean, you can't do that shit in America. You could not fucking show your face if you did that kind of shit. That chick would have to have been like a child molester, some sort of Epstein trafficker. She'd have to be some really evil person before that's going to make any sense, right? I mean, it's almost like I could just tell you, let's just say we know some female politicians in America that we're not really fond of. I would not want to see them being apprehended in that manner because we're a civilized fucking country. Oh, hey, they may end up in the gallows after a trial, but I need to know what they're getting tried for. I need to know the evidence. You can't just run around going, well, this fucking random guy on HN told me that you were bad, so I got to... All of a sudden, it's true, right? No evidence to me, but I know it's true, right? Some people have much bigger portfolios of evidence, but we promote these concepts to people so they understand. Another one that's making rounds that I just, it's just, I'm so happy, okay? If you were to say, okay, I mean, most listeners who are OG, they've heard it all, but let me just remind the OG listeners, if you rewind back to, God, at least maybe episode 15 to 20, all the way to today, even if you just read the names of the episodes, I started this show, let's see, a year and a half before 45 won in December. Then he wins, and who knows, we didn't have any idea of that this thing was coming in 2017, another year later. The dude was just president, whatever, right? Now, we'll see if he's any good. I mean, I did not have, you know, a Trump statue in my wall or anything. I mean, he was just a guy on TV. He'd written a book with, was it Robert Kiyosaki? It was pretty cool. I kind of knew he was a patriot up to a point, but then he was kind of always bragging about himself. So I was like, that rubs me wrong, still rubs me wrong. But I think you know his strategy nowadays. He's trying to piss him off. But this show has been promoting stuff, talking about stuff that is all absolutely relevant today. And a big one is those Georgia Guidestones, man. I've seen them posted so many times because someone just recently vandalized it, and then the person who vandalized it couldn't do any math to save their soul, but they wrote, they want to kill 80% of us. And it's like, dude, it's 96.4 with the current population. But they're starting to say we have 8 billion now, so that's even going to go up even higher. But that's, again, like I always say, they're not going to start at 500 million. They're going to start at 100 million. And they want some wiggle room in there, right? And they're going to control that shit. But anyway, they're making their rounds. People are starting to go, well, it's not written in stone. And you're like, right there it is. Mid-80s, made in stone, made by a town that makes tombstones. How poetic is that, right? I talked about those Epstein people before that guy was even known to the mass public, right? I didn't even know his name at that time. So there has been this sort of vibe. And of course, I'm leeching off of, you know, InfoWars, AJ, and David Icke, and Bill Cooper, and what's that dude's name escaped me? He wrote The Fourth Reich. Bill Hicks, that's for sure. But the evidence has been out there for a really long time. The more your memory works, the more you can't just hear a fact and just go in and out one ear, right? You're all of a sudden going, whoa, what did you just say? Oh, yeah, well, that's like what four other people said, and then one guy 10 years ago and the one guy 30 years ago. Oh. What's really interesting about it is, you know, I struggle with revelations, with the notion of a second coming. I don't know. It sounds cool. But there's this interesting thing where we all contemplate why we're here on Earth and the test that we're here to conduct. And I'm sure the test rotates. It could be, again, that there's one crowd that's here, we all expire, we take a break, the other crowd comes back as our kids, and they're on a different renewal journey to get the different test, one that it's applicable to them. And we're in this one where it's like, we're the nut up group of people. But what I sort of feel like is that we're in a situation where the test for every human being on this planet is, do you live for God, which is do no harm? You'll do anything to help other people, or do you live for the devil, which is get yours and fuck everybody else? And so God is like, I need to know, where do you stand? Are you in the city of Sodom? You know, where are you? Do I need to turn you into salt? We're being tested. Are you willing to use this beautiful body I've given you, this soul that will infiltrate this flesh and thus give you a mind? And are you willing to listen to my word as I've written it down in several different religions, several different philosophies, and irrespective of being taught a religion, are you able to calm yourself and just listen to me? You know? The sound of the ocean is the sound of God's voice speaking to you. It's calm, it's relaxing, it's white noise. I think the tough one is this. And this must have been a very tough thing for previous civilizations on this planet at different times. Let's say it's pretty clear what is God's way and what is the devil's way. You just know. Do no harm. And then a war happens. So you don't want to do anything to cross some basic sort of Ten Commandments that are out there that you believe in. You don't want to hurt anybody, do you? Least of all, go to a level of killing another human being to defend yourself from someone being an aggressor. And here comes somebody who's going to take away your Second Amendment rights. Or they're going to try and push you down on the ground and stick a drink in you. Or your kid. Or they did it to your kid without your permission. Some teacher takes your fucking kid and runs off and they get a trans surgery on your fucking son who's 12 years old, cutting his beans and franks off. I mean, they set that up already. Can you imagine? I mean, this shit is legal now. Someone's got a kid. It's 9 months here in the United States. And they're so fucking proud the child sacrifice is going to occur. Ugh. I mean, that's on their soul. You just let that go, right? Can't save everybody. You can't, especially that situation. But let's just say the whole thing fucking unravels, man. Everybody can count. Everybody does know their power structure. But there's a fight to get it. I mean, I sure as fuck hope it's not some, you know, soccer moms that have to start the resistance in that situation. Where the fuck is the military, man? A friend of mine just said, you know, to me tonight, she goes, I just can't imagine that we have all these Navy SEALs, fucking Rangers, Special Forces dudes, Delta guys, Marines out there, and everybody's just watching the country go to shit, which means, you know, as I've been told by a very high commander of the theaters in the Middle East, he told me, he said, look, when they start trying to come for the Second Amendment, and they just put a fucking red flag law in there today. If you're ex-military, they can just make up a rumor about you and take your fucking gun away. Why? Because you're the most highly trained, highly skilled person. Okay, I was told by this commander in 2010 at the fucking Rainbow on Sunset Boulevard, which is a big rock and roll joint, where Lemmy used to go until he passed away. He said, if they tell us to do that kind of shit, then we're going to turn on the COs and we're going to clean out upper management in a couple seconds because there's only a few hundred of them and there's fucking hundreds of thousands of us. Okay, I'm waiting. Hey, soldiers, all those conspiracy theories that you thought weren't true are coming fucking 10x true in front of your face. In 4 years, well, I should say 4 years from 46 getting in, everything you swore to, everything that your Vietnam buddies swore to, your Desert Storm people swore to, all these other operations that happened in the 21st century, everyone who passed away fighting for freedom in this country will have died in 1,000% vain. Not motivating. Fuck, it's motivating for me, and I didn't even join the military because there was no wars going on when I was of age. They just put that Scheller guy in the brig who came out and just spoke his opinion, his First Amendment right, which apparently is fucking destroyed once you join the military. I mean, wow. So you join the military and your constitutional rights are suspended. I understand if you commit a crime as a military person, you're representing the organization, and therefore you can go through a military tribunal. That makes more sense to me, but you losing your First Amendment right? The guy wasn't giving up secrets. He was just expressing his opinion. And it's an opinion that's all over the press. It's all over everywhere. Even the liberal press agrees with this kid. This guy, excuse me. And he's in jail right now. We have people from the January event on the 6th being held against their constitutional rights. You have right to due process. You can't just hold someone without fucking charges. Apparently, a lot of people are in without charges yet. I mean, you know, we know that they're going to throw them down, but you can't just hold someone forever, for fuck's sake. That's what Europe did. So a big part of me goes, what the fuck is going on? You know, you look at the American flag. I used to get choked up during the fucking national anthem, and now I get choked up because America's dead. And apparently, a lot of other countries are too. And it's not technically true, but it's like, God damn, people. You know, convincing the youth that this country sucks. Man, I can't fucking wait until they live in a socialistic world, until this place looks like fucking Brazil. Oh my, is life going to be different for all these fucking snowflakes? Because what's going to happen is Brazilian gangsters are going to come into America just walking right over that fucking border going, why the hell are we down here starving to death? We're able to actually get food and money and guns and all kinds of shit here. We'll just walk right across that fucking border and we'll do it in the United States because Biden destroyed the United States. He killed off all of the fucking military with these mandatory drinks. I don't know. Police, I guess, may be the most lethal force and just a smidgen here. All of our super duper trained soldiers. I don't know. I'm sure they're pissed, but it's like, I just can't imagine sitting on the sidelines forever, you know. So I think if anything, if everybody just to quit would form their own group and go work for 45, you'd have some resistance that's trained to do so, that's young, that's vicious, right? I know a country that's got $85 billion worth of stuff we could go probably buy. Remember that old show, that old movie in the was 70s called Network? Man, if you haven't seen Network, you got to go see it. Is it ever poetic to this day right now? In every way. And make sure you watch the whole movie, especially the closing dialogue in the conference room. You'll be amazed at what was exposed in that movie that the public just went, whatever, man. The shit on the stereo is awesome. Shit in the movie theater is awesome. Let's go to the next one, right? But this dude said, you know, basically told you about the propaganda machine of the television. He told you, stop fucking watching it. And he got the highest ratings ever. And eventually, there's the famous line, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Open your window and tell the world you're mad as hell and you're not going to take it anymore. And then all these people started throwing their fucking televisions out the window. It is a poetic situation. And if you really think why you got to watch TV, outside of especially in that time frame, we had the most amazing television programming I think we've ever had. And just upbeat, you know, moral upticks, that kind of stuff. And people get all pissed off about what is All in the Family with Archie. It was like this total racist sitting in his living room. That had an application to society the same way that Richard Pryor's stand-up routine exhausted racial stereotypes and racial realities such that we could all kind of hear how stupid we sound from all different angles, right? And then we kind of look at each other after his concert's over and just go, yeah, you know, I had it wrong, dude. Let's fucking go get something to eat, man. You know, it just kind of brought us together. But today, it's the cancel culture bullshit, which is keep all of your racism and your cultural differences all pent up until you fucking explode. And then it's still. Now, well, it's instead of being just a little bit misinformed about somebody else, it's quadruple misinformed, right? In the end, the world will get what it deserves. It will. Because in the end, I think listening, learning, getting more educated is the name of the game, man. And we don't have any skills. We don't have any hobbies. And so the television is everything, right? Fucking sports. Nothing against sports. But if that's your whole fucking life, because you got nothing else to do. And a lot of you do, and you live simple lives, but you live good simple lives. I'm not talking about you. But I got friends of mine who, I swear to God, they drink because they are rooting for their team and their team isn't winning. Or they celebrate with drink because their team is winning. But it's always one team wins all year and all the other people hate everybody else, you know. We got to check ourselves, you know. Anyway, I know you feel me, but let me know what you think. You know, this is a fascinating time in history, and I'm probably just going to continue making episodes as fast as I want. The algorithm does not reward quick release videos somehow. I don't know. There's some people out there, they can do daily doses of bullshit and they get fucking a billion views in the algorithms. Okay, we are doing really well with the subscriptions. My prediction of losing a lot of people has failed completely. We did lose about 4 today, or 3 today at one point. That's natural. That makes sense. I think releasing videos rapidly pisses people off because it gets in their feed and it starts clogging their feed. It's like your buddy who posts, you know, 20 pictures one at a time. So if you're a new subscriber, just understand, we're going a little faster nowadays. I mean, shit, I got 2 in the office and I'm making a 3rd one right here, so I can't remotely get things off to you guys in time. So probably another one tomorrow, about halfway through editing it, which I wanted to get out last Saturday, and so it's going to be out on Tuesday. So I'm running behind, working hard. But anyway, if you haven't been to deepthoughtsradio.com, please go. Everything you need is up there. To all the PayPal and Patreon folks, thank you so much. Take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over now.